Why are fit people microdosing GLP-1s? Healthy guys are injecting tiny doses of obesity medication to look and feel even better. But at what risk? IT didn't happen overnight. But where's Turo says his wife turned him on to a life-changing habit. No, nothing kinky. Unless you're into needles, for 2 years, Durer watched his wife inject weekly doses of a glucagon-like peptide-1 receptor agonist, GLP-1. He saw the benefits up close. She lost 30 pounds, but he never considered trying the meds himself. At 6 feet 1 inches and 183 pounds, Durer, a 44-year-old entrepreneur from Charlotte, North Carolina, with a finance background, wasn't interested in weight loss. He lifts weights regularly, runs frequently, and completes a half marathon every year, knocking off the Lake Norman race in 1 hour. 53 minutes and 54 seconds in April 2024. Things changed one day last fall when his wife shared her blood test results. Her once high triglycerides, a heart disease risk factor, had fallen by 68%. Her hemoglobin A1C, a marker of blood sugar control, was down 7%. A decrease of just 1% is enough to improve your overall health and expected lifespan. Durer, a self-described numbers guy, says, I eat healthy, I exercise, I look healthy, but I know the inside doesn't always correlate with what's on the outside. It immediately clicked for me that I also wanted to improve my blood work, and I should try a GLP-1. For the previous decade, Turner's A1C had hovered in the prediabetic range. His total cholesterol was also high, 237 mg/dL, and trending upward. Turner is a co-founder of the Aesthetic Concierge, a medical weight loss clinic in Charlotte. He talked to medical director Evan Bloom, MD, who prescribed Turner a regimen of 0.2 mg of semaglutide, the active ingredient in the GLP-1 meds Wegovy and Ozempic, taken every 7 days. That's 20% less than the typical 0.25 mg starting dose for treating obesity. The price tag is $299 every 5 weeks for the medication, which comes from a licensed compounding pharmacy. Durer hesitated for just a moment before sticking the first needle into his abdomen. To his surprise, he could barely feel it. Within 2 months, he reduced his A1C to 5.6, just below the prediabetes threshold of 5.7. His cholesterol dropped to 220 mg per deciliter, still somewhat elevated but his lowest number in 3 years. He also lost 6 pounds, which made him feel lighter on his feet when running. Now, he says, the shots are easy. West Durer running a New York City half marathon in 2015 and injecting himself with a microdose of GLP-1 in October. 2025, I feel fresher, like I'm in my 20s, Durer says. At 44, when you do a long run, and then you do another run a couple of days later, you might be dragging. I don't feel like I'm dragging anymore. So far, he has experienced no side effects and plans to continue microdosing as long as his A1C and cholesterol numbers stay within the normal range. Durer is part of a growing cohort of men who are microdosing GLP-1s. About 12% of Americans have tried a GLP-1, Rand reports. When the electronic health record company Tedra surveyed GLP-1 users earlier this year, more than a third were microdosing with Gen Z and affluent people driving the trend because they are often not covered by insurance. The goal is to harness a fraction of the profound health benefits observed in people with medical conditions such as obesity and type 2 diabetes when they take standard doses of GLP-1s, maybe with fewer side effects. Guys like Durer are also part of a broader swath of guys who are extremely proactive about their health. They don't fit the typical prescribing criteria for GLP-1s, namely, having diabetes or being obese. They're not waiting to get sick to seek treatment, but are looking for ways to optimize their health now, or at least prevent the onset of chronic or age-related diseases as long as possible. While GLP-1s and similar peptides famously suppress appetite, reduce blood sugar, and cause weight loss, a growing body of research suggests they might also do much more: curb inflammation all over your body, increase mitochondria in skeletal muscle to give you more energy and help you build strength, and reduce the risk of conditions ranging from Alzheimer's to heart disease to alcohol use disorder. However, many doctors are wary of microdosing GLP-1s, especially in the absence of an actual medical condition. The top concern is the lack of research on the effectiveness or safety of microdosing the drugs, or using GLP-1s, period, in people with normal weight and blood sugar. Everything in medicine is a risk-benefit ratio, says Florentia Halperin, MD, Chief Medical Officer at Form Health, a virtual medical weight loss clinic based in Boston. If you have the disease of obesity, you are at excess risk for more than 200 conditions, so a small amount of risk of side effects on the balance is so much lower than continuing with all this excess risk from the disease. But if you're completely normal, we have no idea where the risk-benefit ratio is. It has just not been scientifically tested, and so that's extremely concerning. Another concern is the quality of compounded weight loss medications, the kind often used for microdosing. People who take regular doses of semaglutide or tirzepatide, another active ingredient in some GLP-1 meds, can buy the brand name drug, Wegovy, Ozempic, Zepbound, Mounjaro through a regular pharmacy, if covered by health insurance, or directly from the manufacturer. Microdoses, however, usually come from compounding pharmacies, which formulate custom doses. While compounding pharmacies have played an outsized role in the rise of GLP-1 microdosing, questions remain about the quality and legality of what they're selling. Are healthy guys who microdose GLP-1s smart early adopters of a blockbuster health spin enhancement strategy? Or are they bro science suckers who are wasting money and putting their health at risk? The rise of microdosing while the GLP-1 microdosing tipping point for a Turner was his wife's experience. For many other health-optimizing curious guys, it was an October 2024 episode of Huberman Lab. On the episode titled Peptide and Hormone Therapies for Health, Performance and Longevity, Craig Conover, MD, a physician who specializes in performance medicine protocols, described his low and slow approach. He prescribes patients small compounded doses of semaglutide and tirzepatide to help them lose weight at a gradual pace and minimize muscle loss and side effects such as nausea and Ozempic face. Microdosing has been a game changer, Dr. Conover says. Before going on to tout its potential cognitive, psychological, and anti-inflammatory benefits. Of course, Dr. Conover didn't invent microdosing. The term was coined decades ago to describe taking tiny, microgram-sized doses of psychedelic drugs like LSD for cognitive benefits without hallucinating. In the early 2020s, as GLP-1s became more popular, leading to shortages, doctors and patients began experimenting with stretching standard doses of Wegovy and Ozempic, which came in multi-dose injectable pens. By click counting, listening to the audible clicks of the injector pen, patients could self-administer smaller than prescribed amounts. News of the benefits spread by word of mouth and social media, with patients and doctors sharing click charts with dosage recommendations. Then, when the FDA began allowing compounding pharmacies to make GLP-1s, because of the shortage in 2022, doctors could request smaller custom doses, which is how Dr. Bloom started prescribing them to patients who experience side effects with larger doses. Studies show that 40-85% of people taking standard doses of GLP-1s have side effects, most often gastrointestinal troubles like nausea and vomiting. Side effects are a common reason for quitting a GLP-1 early. Research suggests smaller doses tend to lead to fewer side effects, which is why doctors usually start patients on low GLP-1 doses. The idea is to help them acclimate before ramping up to higher amounts. But as more research came out about the non-weight loss benefits of GLP-1s and the reduced risk for multiple chronic diseases due to the inflammatory pathways that the medication addresses, Dr. Bloom and others began prescribing these lower doses to healthy patients in 2024. Now, microdosing is part of the GLP-1 lexicon, even if not everyone agrees on its exact definition. There's no standard for microdosing, says Alexandra Sower, MD, founder of Sarwell. With GLP-1s, microdosing usually means taking smaller amounts than the FDA has approved. Some doctors say microdosing is just off-label prescribing, a centuries-old practice in which doctors meet patient needs with non-standard medication doses, with a cute name. While some people, like Derner, get their compounded microdoses from boutique doctors, direct-to-consumer telemedicine platforms are also getting in on the action. Telehealth companies like AgelusRx and Noom started offering microdosing plans from $149 to $300 per month. In October, Found Health and Hims & Hers entered the fray. Found is marketing microdosing for long-term heart and blood sugar health. Hims & Hers says it's offering responsible, individualized care for preventative metabolic health. More than 15,000 people have already joined Noom's program. It's available to those with a body mass index, BMI, of at least 25, the threshold for being overweight. A BMI of 30 is the marker for obesity and opens the door to coverage by insurance. However, Noom's chief medical officer, Jeffrey Egler, MD, says the company uses more than BMI when determining if microdosing is right for a patient. BMI is a calculation based on height and weight. It's not a direct measure of body fat. Dr. Egler says many people with a normal BMI still feel they can look better, and that's not necessarily body dysmorphia. Treating people that have a normal BMI as if they are healthy by nature of that, I think, is a missed opportunity, he says. While Noom emphasizes body recomposition, companies such as AgelusRx, Hims & Hers, and Found, plus physicians like Dr. Conover and Dr. Bloom, are going beyond the scale and leaning more heavily into the potential health span and longevity benefits. As Found's pitch reads, this isn't just cosmetic, it's clinical. Meet the microdosers MH, talk to Turner and a variety of guys who have tried microdosing GLP-1s for reasons beyond weight loss. To boost energy, Martin Stridham, a 29-year-old tech entrepreneur from San Francisco, was curious about the effects of GLP-1s on metabolism, appetite, and energy. So, with a doctor's guidance, he took 0.125 milligrams of semaglutide once per week for 2 weeks, then 0.25 milligrams weekly for the next 3. He felt nausea and constipation in the early days. By week 2, he was back to normal, and in weeks 3 to 5, he experienced fewer dips in afternoon energy. Some GLP-1 users report low energy from eating less, while others find they have fewer crashes, perhaps because of better blood sugar regulation. Using Wearables and Me Again, an app that supports GLP-1 users, Stridham logged a 3% reduction in blood sugar and a 6% boost in nighttime energy recovery. He also lost about 2.6 pounds without trying. He felt fuller after meals and grabbed fewer post-dinner snacks. For now, his stint with microdosing was just an experiment. He considers it a potent biohack and a tool he may use again, but he's keen to see more scientific research. Martin Stridham did a 5-week cycle of microdosing a GLP-1 to boost his energy levels. To improve blood sugar regulation, Jeff Cook, 47, Noom's chief executive officer, started microdosing last October in hope of seeing metabolic benefits. He wasn't overweight, but his A1C of 5.6 was nearing pre-diabetes. By March, his A1C fell to 5.3. His LDL and HDL cholesterol and triglyceride levels also improved, and he lost 10 pounds. GLP-1s enhanced blood sugar control and other metabolic markers by stimulating the release of insulin, a hormone that regulates blood sugar, while suppressing the secretion of glucagon, a hormone that raises blood sugar. The drugs also slow stomach emptying to reduce appetite. What I noticed is it became easier to avoid the chips in the pantry, says Cook. It became easier to substitute in blueberries, which, for some reason, I've developed a real taste for. Cook used to run 3 times a week. Now he has the stamina to go out every day, rain or shine, and he recently ran his first triathlon in 7 years, alongside his daughter. He hasn't experienced any negative side effects from microdosing and is sticking with it. Jeff Cook, pictured above with his children, says microdosing GLP-1s helped him improve his cardio fitness. To help increase muscle and reduce fat, Emil Jarhik, the 39-year-old owner of a medical transport company in Chicago, logs about 2 hours of exercise per day between weightlifting and cycling. This summer, wanting to shed fat and gain muscle, he sought out retatrutide, a next-generation GLP-1, glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptide, GIP, and glucagon receptor agonist, a triple agonist targeting appetite, blood sugar, and metabolism. Healthcare providers can't legally prescribe retatrutide because it is not yet FDA-approved Although it's being studied in stage 3 clinical trials by drug maker Eli Lilly in doses up to 12 milligrams, it could be approved by late 2026. Still, some guys like Jahik are buying retatrutide at their own risk through a grey market of medical clinics and med spas, research peptide outlets, where drugs are sold for research purposes, compounding pharmacies, and e-commerce sites. The FDA recently sent warning letters to several companies distributing the unapproved drug, notifying them that they're violating federal law. The FDA advises against buying these products. Jahik got retatrutide from a med spa, which sourced it from a compounding pharmacy, after completing a questionnaire and a virtual consultation. The package arrived at his house the next day. From Memorial Day to Labor Day, he took 2.5 milligrams of it weekly and cut his body fat from 24% to 13.5% and reduced his weight from 239 pounds to 220 pounds. Occasionally, he felt tired, perhaps from eating a bit less than usual. I still was able to eat about 240 grams of protein per day without a problem, he says. What it did is really just reduce all the other food noise. Although he didn't work closely with a doctor, he kept tabs on his health. I did baseline blood labs beforehand, and I did a first follow-up 6 weeks after starting, he says. I figured it would be enough for something to show, but all my markers had improved, so I had literally no worries. He plans to do another round of microdosing next spring to fine-tune his fitness. Emil Jahik used retatrutide to help with body recomposition. He packed on muscle and reduced his body fat from 24% to 13.5%. To lower blood pressure, Tony Palamedesi, a 41-year-old self-described biohacker from Dallas, has exercised regularly for the past 25 years. He says he's fairly fit, with no desire to lose weight. But about a year ago, his blood pressure was slightly elevated at 130 over 85 millimeters Hg. He was curious about how microdosing a GLP-1 might help. Palamedesi has years of experience using research-grade peptides. He first tried them in hope of avoiding surgery for shoulder pain from an old baseball injury, and he says they worked. So, when it was time to try a GLP-1, he already had the process down. He sourced retatrutide through a research peptide supplier. Before buying, he asks suppliers to provide certificates of analysis and endotoxin reports. He calls them, asks to speak with a real person, and asks them where their ingredients are sourced, ideally, the United States. If they won't tell him, or if their prices are too low, say, $50 for a 10 mg vial of retatrutide, that should cost more like $200, he gets suspicious. Palamedesi takes 0.25 mg doses of retatrutide twice a week for 8 weeks at a time, with 4 week breaks in between. I usually only do it Monday and Wednesday, because if I do Fridays, it starts affecting my appetite, and it's like I have to force myself to eat, he says. His blood pressure is now normal, 115 over 80 millimeters Hg. He hasn't lost weight. He asks his primary care doctor, a functional medicine physician, to run an annual panel of blood tests so he can keep tabs on his health. Tony Palamedesi microdosed retatrutide and says that it, along with regular exercise, helped lower his blood pressure. To maintain weight loss, microdosing is common after patients have used higher doses of a GLP-1 to reach their target weight in order to help with weight maintenance, says Sharon Gies, MD, a New York City plastic surgeon, who has been prescribing GLP-1s since 2022. Research shows that people who stop a GLP-1 after losing weight often regain weight within a year. Dr. Gies finds that patients who drop 30 pounds or more with semaglutide usually want to stay on a small maintenance dose. A 0.25 mg weekly dose costs about $30 per week at her clinic. Noom's Dr. Egler had a BMI of 25 and shed 15 pounds over 6 weeks on a microdose protocol. He says he's now back at his fighting weight and has significantly less chronic knee pain. He's found he can enjoy taking his kids for ice cream without ordering his own scoop. I saw my percent body fat go down and my lean muscle increase, which are actually way better markers and metrics of well-being and longevity than a BMI, which often kind of gets it wrong, he says. Next up, I'm even experimenting with much lower doses than what we have in our current program, because I want to see the effects of that. Jeffrey Egger microdosed GLP-1s, which helped him lose 15 pounds over 6 weeks and reduced his chronic knee pain, so now he's more likely to exercise. But is it safe long term? Everyone MH talked to is seeing health benefits from taking low doses of a GLP-1, making the question of risk-benefit ratio a no-brainer in the short term. But while there is a lot of this kind of anecdotal data, there remains a dearth of research on microdosing. And big questions remain, starting with, will these meds improve your health in the long run? And if so, how? This does feel like we're on the cusp of a longevity revolution with this medication, says Dr. Sola. The problem inherently is that we're not quite sure what it is that causes all this benefit. Is it the decreased inflammation from a significant weight loss? Is it the stabilized blood sugar? Is it inherently the medicine? And is it the dose? More data is on the way to address the question of whether it works. Noom is partnering with an academic institution to study the results of a microdosing program. HRX is conducting a clinical trial on the effects of microdosing semaglutide on health, quality of life, and longevity measures. The company is enrolling 150 people with a BMI of 20 or higher who want a microdose for health and longevity with no intention of losing weight. After 6 months, they'll be checked for improvements in metrics such as pain level, mood, sleep patterns, cholesterol, and blood sugar. Dr. Egger adds that the lack of evidence on microdosing FDA-approved drugs isn't the same as evidence that it doesn't work. In people with lower starting weights, small doses could have big impacts, he says. There's no reason to believe that the increased mitochondrial biogenesis, the activation of mitochondrial proteins, the antioxidant enzyme production are not happening to some degree, even with the smallest levels of GLP-1s, he says. A second unknown is safety. Concerns remain about the quality of compounded GLP-1s. Brand name GLP-1 makers, such as Lilly and Novo Nordisk, package the drugs in auto-injector pens that dispense standard doses, but microdosers often draw the medication into their own syringes from GLP-1 vials filled at compounding pharmacies. The molecules are proprietary to the pharmaceutical companies that make them, and so there's this question of, if you're getting a compounded version, is it really the same thing, says Dr. Halperin. For some of the drugs, we know the biochemistry is not the same. There's also a legal battle going on between brand-name drug makers whose patents haven't expired yet, and the compounders and telehealth companies selling their own versions. Novo Nordisk has filed more than 130 lawsuits in 40 states. Providers say they're within FDA guidelines for the use of compounded drugs because they're creating custom doses to meet each patient's specific medical needs. The FDA says some semaglutide products sold as compounds might be the salt forms, which differ from the base forms used in approved drugs. It has also received reports of counterfeits and products with the wrong ingredients or concentrations. These drugs are emulating a protein molecule we have in our body, so if you're putting something in there that is low quality, the risk is that you get antibodies, that you have an autoimmune reaction to that chemical, says Angela Fitch, MD, Chief Medical Officer at Nanwal. Then, if you try another GLP-1 in the future, it might not work. She says, if you're trying a medication from a compounding pharmacy, ask your doctor about the state and national certifications and licenses of the pharmacy they order from, suggests Dr. Atlum. He partners only with pharmacies that are nationally credentialed through organizations such as the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy and the Joint Commission that hold the FDA designation 503A or 503B and that are state licensed. State and federal inspectors can then check the facilities, increasing the likelihood of consistent safety and sterility, he says. As for the DIY route of ordering GLP-1s without a doctor, as a physician, I would never recommend someone utilize the gray market for GLP-1s, ever, says Dr. Bloom. There's also the problem of user error. Mistakes can happen with DIY injections. When you're filling your own syringes, math errors could be dangerous. A lot of times it's sold in a multi-use vial, and so you can, without intention, give yourself five times the dose, says Dr. Halperin. The FDA has heard from people who accidentally took too much and suffered complications such as severe vomiting and fainting. Most healthcare providers help patients administer injections safely. For example, Dr. Atlum sends people detailed instructions and pictures of syringes filled to each concentration. He encourages them to schedule an in-person or video visit if they need help. While auto-injector pens manufactured by pharmaceutical companies are safe, Dr. Atlum cautions against pre-filled syringes from doctors' offices and telehealth companies. These can be easily contaminated or exposed to temperatures that compromise the medication's effectiveness. A more abstract risk is the reality that it's so easy to get these meds without receiving actual medical care. I find it concerning that people are thinking about buying a medication as opposed to thinking about getting medical care for a disease, says Dr. Halperin. A model where you fill out a questionnaire and this thing just lands on your doorstep. It should be a red flag, she says. That's not really safe. Comprehensive medical care, Dr. Blum's patients undergo a series of blood tests before a microdosing, and if a patient tries to go rogue on dosing, he won't continue treating them. What's happening with the growing ubiquity of the medications is that some people are thinking of them as supplements versus medications and thinking that there should be ownership on their side versus with a clinician, he says. When that happens, bad outcomes can happen. Then there is the question of how long you microdose for and the long-term cost. Again, thinking about the risk-benefit ratio can help. GLP-1s have been around for so long and are so safe, and have been studied at such high doses, that I don't have a problem with any of my patients staying on a microdose essentially for the rest of their life, says Dr. Aghese. However, serious complications, such as gallstones and intestinal obstruction, have been reported in a small proportion of GLP-1 users. The risk-benefit, if you have obesity, is way in favor of using them, but it's not a supplement where I would say, go ahead, try it and see if it does something to you, says Dan Ozagiri, MD, Medical Director for the Stanford Lifestyle and Weight Management Center. That's not where the risk-benefit lies, given that health insurance won't cover GLP-1s if you aren't obese, don't have type 2 diabetes, or aren't overweight with cardiovascular disease. The cost can add up for years before you know whether the spend was really worth it. It's something Wes Turner, the runner from Charlotte, has thought about, and the answer is in the numbers. If my blood work moves in a direction I don't want it to go in, then I'll talk with Dr. Bloom about adjusting my dose, says Turner. My goal is to not be on a statin and keep my overall health systems as optimal as they can be as I move into my 50s and 60s. Transparently, my dad had open heart surgery about 10 years ago, and I want to be as proactive as possible about my cardiovascular health. If my cardio and overall numbers are good, microdosing is worth it. Julie Stewart is a freelance writer who covers health. Photographs by Andrew B. Myers, courtesy of Subject Earner, Stridham, Cook, Jahik, Palamidesi, Hegler.